especially our guys that have been away from us enjoying the men's retreat. We are glad you're home safely. And if you have your Bibles tonight, be turning with me to Genesis chapter 22. And for the benefit of those of you who weren't here this morning, or maybe then again you were here and you just wasn't paying attention, we're talking about Abraham and Isaac. And the fact that Abraham was told to offer his son, his only son, as a sacrifice to God. And you remember the story how that they travel up Mount Moriah, and just about when Abraham was going to take Isaac's life, then the Lord stops him. And we pointed out this morning that the application to you and to me and the lives that we're trying to live now is very simple. And that is that your faith, my faith, our faith can be measured just like Abraham's faith. In his case and in our case, our faith can be measured by the depth of its devotion. But now then, tonight, I want to take it a step further. Not only can faith be measured by the depth of its devotion, our faith can be measured by the height of its obedience. On the 29th day of May, 1953, at 11:30 a.m., Sir Edmund Hillary raised the British flag at the top of Mount Everest, the highest point on the face of Mother Earth. And he had faced danger, he had faced disappointment, he had faced discouragement, he had faced despair, he had faced death itself. He climbed sheer walls of ice in the face of hunger and pain. But he finally arrived at the pinnacle some 29,000 feet high, and he stood where no man had ever stood before, climbed as high as any man can climb on this earth. But may I tell you that spiritually speaking, Abraham climbed a higher mountain. Are you listening? Abraham climbed a higher mountain when he climbed up Mount Moriah because it cost him more. Why? Why'd he do it? To obey God, that's it. To obey God out of faith. Now listen to me tonight. Do you know what faith is? Hear me. Faith is not believing God in spite of evidence. That's not faith. That's superstition. Here it is, right out of the GBV. Faith, are you ready? Is obeying God in spite of consequences, in spite of appearances. Go back now and trade places with Abraham. Go up to Mount Moriah and offer Isaac, your one and only son, the only son of promise. Offer him as a sacrifice. Well, why, Lord? Because I told you to do it. Somebody says, now, wait a minute, preacher, that's just blind obedience. No, it is not. You know why? It's intelligent obedience. You cannot obey God until you know God and hear God's voice through His Word. What does Paul say in Romans 10 and verse 17? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the... There it is. Hearing by the Word. Now, we got to get this straight, folks, because we're eat up with this in the 21st century. God has not promised to honor anything that He has not first commanded. Are you listening? God hasn't promised to honor anything He hasn't first commanded. And so many, even in the religious community in which we live, are doing things in the name of sincerity, thinking that God will accept it as worship. And they call it faith. With all due respect, that's not faith, that's presumption. It's like somebody said, the Lord told me, or God spoke to, friend, if I can't validate it and verify it by the word, I cannot believe it. It's not intelligent faith because it's not of the word. Well, not only is our faith supposed to be an intelligent faith, our faith is supposed to be an intentional faith. I tell folks all the time when I teach criminal law that the most important word in criminal law is intent. Not accidentally or not negligently, but intentionally. You got to want to do it. And one of the reasons many of us don't feel like the Lord is using us is because we don't ever report for duty. We don't ever pray. You remember that old song that we used to sing years and years ago, "Lead Me to Some Soul Today"? Remember that old song? Do you think that's not a good prayer tonight, to pray and ask God to open doors of opportunity to lead you to somebody? Intentionally wanting. And again, some of us think God's not speaking. Well, no, the issue is we're not listening. We're not intentionally opening ourselves to His word, and ignorance is no excuse. So our obedience has to be intelligent. It's of the word. It has to be intentional. And then I like what happens here in the life of Abraham in verse 3. It has to be immediate. My good brother, who's a fine preacher up in Gunnersville, Alabama, made a word study of how many times and in different circumstances you find the phrase early in the morning. Early in the morning. Now, we'll get up early in the morning to go fishing. I'm going to get in real trouble. We'll get up early in the morning and go hunting. But Abraham got up early in the morning to do what? To go sacrifice his son. Learn this tonight, dear folk. Procrastination is a form of disobedience. Are you listening? Procrastination is a form of disobedience. And most of the people that I know that think about serving God and dream about and desire to do great things for the cause of Christ never do it. You want to know why? You put it off long enough and the dream dies and the opportunity fades away. So our faith is measured by the depth of its devotion. Our faith is measured by the height of its obedience. Not only that, but our faith is measured by the length of its sacrifice. Genuine faith will go to any length to obey God. I'm glad our Bibles, the publishers of our Bibles, started putting footnotes in them. Because in many of your Bibles, including the two that I use, in the footnote of Genesis 22, it cites Hebrews 11 and verse 17. That great chapter of faith. Many of you are familiar with it. The great people that are mentioned there. It's a Hebrews chapter 11, in my judgment, is a New Testament commentary on the Old Testament. It's a commentary on Genesis 22. And in Hebrews 11 and verse 17, it says, "By faith Abraham offered." Now, last time I checked, that was past tense. O-F-F-E-R-E-D. Past tense. By faith Abraham offered. It doesn't say he was willing to offer. It says he offered. Why? Because as far as Abraham was, Isaac was just as good as dead. Now, what was really taking place in Abraham's mind as he's offering Isaac as a sacrifice to God? I submit to you a couple of three things. One is that he was sacrificing his future. Because you remember your Bibles, you know the story. God had promised Abraham that his descendants would bless the whole world, that they would number as far as the nations were concerned. You wouldn't be able to count them. And if he offers Isaac, there goes his future. There goes his future. Is your future on the altar tonight? Are you willing to look down the stream of time in terms of what God has in store for you? And I submit to you, God has a plan for everybody in this room. And Abraham was sacrificing his future if he sacrificed Isaac. Not only that, but he was sacrificing his family. Has it ever crossed your mind how Abraham was going to explain this to his dear wife, Sarah? He was the child of their old age. How's he going to explain this to Sarah? Because you see, he realized that even his family couldn't come first. So Abraham's offering his future. He's offering his family. He's offering his fellowship. What are the brethren going to think? What are other people going to say? How could he explain this to other folks? I can just imagine some of the brethren, so to speak, in that day and time saying, "Well, now Abraham, you've done wrong. You've gone too far. You've done too much. God doesn't require that." You ever thought that way about someone? I have. I can remember when I was a senior in college at Lipscomb, many of my classmates, we were graduating from Lipscomb and we were making our plans. And I had one of my buddies that was going to go to New Guinea. I had another buddy that was going to go to Africa. I had another buddy that was going to go to South America as a missionary. And they said, "Gary, what are you going to do?" I said, "Well, I'm going to Mississippi." Did it compare? Was there anything in terms of what I was doing? See, Abraham's offering his future and his family and his fellowship, and he just lays it all aside because God said go. And you know what? What God says in your life, in my life tonight, as we begin a new week in service to him, he says go. Go into all the world, your world. And when you get up in the morning tomorrow, you'll go to your world. Maybe it's in your neighborhood or your community. Maybe it's in your own home. Maybe it's at the courthouse. But where you go, when you go, as you go, take the gospel with you. And Abraham understood, even as I need to understand, and we all need to understand, that we go because our faith is made up or is measured by the length of its sacrifice. Our faith ought to be willing to pay any price. Not only that, but our faith is measured by the width of its confidence. Now you go back to the commentary I mentioned earlier, Hebrews chapter 11. You go back to Hebrews 11, beginning verse 17 and following, and as I've already pointed out, by faith Abraham offered, past tense. By faith Abraham offered. How could he do that? Well, verse 19 of Hebrews 11 tells us how and why Abraham was able to do that. Because the Bible says that Abraham was accounting. He was banking on the fact that God was able to raise him from the dead. Folks, Abraham had enough confidence in God, in my judgment, that reasoned thusly: if I do sacrifice him, if I do go through with this and sacrifice him, God will raise him up. Somebody says, Gary, how do you know that? Well, you can see that in Genesis 22 in verse 5. They get to the mountain, and what does Abraham say? He told the servants, we, once again, pay attention to grammar, we will go yonder and worship. We will come back. We'll come again. You catch that? We will go and we will come back. Now, my question to you tonight is this, as you face a new week, do you have that kind of confidence in the promises of God? Do you really have that kind of confidence in the providence of God? Maybe Abraham was thinking this way. Anything that God has given me, I can in turn trust Him with it. Anything that God has not given me, I don't need it anyway. You see, God had already given Isaac to Abraham. And Abraham has enough confidence to know that God could be trusted with Isaac. After all, Isaac was a miracle child to start with. And don't you just know, don't you just imagine that Abraham knew in his heart that God would find a way. God would find a way. Even if he had to raise him from the dead. And so anything that God has not given me, I don't need. But anything that God has given me, I can in fact trust him with it. Now, daddies and granddaddies, think with me just a minute at this point in time in the story. How did Abraham explain this to Isaac? How did he explain it to Isaac? These boys will ask some tough questions. Trust me, I know. They'll ask questions that we're not really sure how to answer sometimes. And I couldn't prove it if I had to, but maybe, just maybe Abraham set him down and he said, son, remember when I told you about the covenant that I made with God a long time ago before you were born? I made a covenant with God to leave Ur of the Chaldees and to go to Haran, to a land that I had never seen, but God said, I'll show you. And me and your mama didn't have any children. And yet God said one day my children would number as the sand of the sea and would bless all nations. And Isaac, you remember your mother and me telling you about the day you were born. You were a miracle child, given by the hand of God, and your mama was so shocked that she laughed. And that's what your name means. Isaac means laughter. And oh, how happy we were the day you were born. Well, son, 3 days ago, God asked for you back. God said I was to give you back to him. And son, I don't have any recourse but to do God's will. I've had people say to me, Brother Bradley, I wish you'd talk to my son about becoming a Christian. Brother Bradley, I wish you'd talk to my daughter about becoming a Christian, and I'm only too happy to do that. But moms and dads, have you ever told your children about the covenant you made with God? Maybe it's time you did. And I don't know if that's what Abraham did or not. I don't know what Abraham said. But I do know this. Isaac didn't resist. Because you see, the answer that Abraham had been giving Isaac as they were coming up that mountain, the answer that he had been giving Isaac all along, God will provide. God will provide. God will provide. That was good enough for Isaac. And surely with tears in his eyes and hands that were trembling with fear, Abraham binds the hands of Isaac, just like the hands of Jesus would be bound 2,500 years later. And now the altar is ready, the fire is ready, the knife is ready to plunge into the quivering chest of Abraham's son of promise. Everything's ready, and with a cry of anguish, no doubt, Abraham raises that knife and he tries to carry out God's command. And an angel says, "Abraham, Abraham." And he says, "Here am I. Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And in verse 13, there's a ram that God provided. And he offered him as a sacrifice. Don't you see it, dear folk? God never wanted Isaac. It was Abraham that God wanted all along. He wanted everything that Abraham was or ever wanted to be. And he got it. And so bottom line, heart of the message, don't miss this if you miss everything else. If you love it, let it go. If you love it, let it go. Take it to Mount Moriah. If it's really yours, God will give it back to you. And if he doesn't give it back, you better thank him. Because he has saved you from a fate worse than death. And that is that having something that would impede your faith, your fellowship, your usefulness to God, you didn't need it to start with. One of our missionaries came to Lipscomb to speak to us in our Bible class once. And he said a man made the statement to him once, "I would give the world to have the joy that you have." And the missionary said, "Son, that's exactly what it cost me. I would give the world." Would you? Would you? Abraham said, in essence, "Lord, if you want it, if you want him, rather, you could have him." And God revealed himself in verse 14. And I'm finished, but look at this. I absolutely love this. If you underline in your Bibles, you ought to underline Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14. "And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is to this day. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Don't you just love that? Jehovah Jireh. You know what Jehovah Jireh means? Maybe in your footnote. It means God, our provider. Let's say it together. You say it after me. Jehovah Jireh. God, our provider. Let's say it again. Jehovah Jireh. God, our provider. And you know what provide means. You've heard me talk about it at length. The word providence means provide. It's provision. It means to see ahead of time. And I just love the analogy that when Abraham started up one side of that mountain with Isaac, a ram started up the other side. Abraham couldn't see the ram, but God could. God saw the ram, and he saw the need for a sacrifice, and God provided. God saw ahead of time. And I say to you tonight that there are things that Jehovah Jireh can see in your life that you can't see. He knows things about you that you can't know. Why? Because he is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, the God who sees ahead of time. Bow with me, please. Holy Father, look down upon us this hour. In all of your kindness and goodness and your love, and plant these words on our hearts. Plant the words devotion, obedience, sacrifice, confidence. And Lord, haste the day when our faith shall be sight. We pray it in the sweet and precious name of Jesus, because he said we could. And the whole church said, now, I don't know where you are in all of this. I want to head the list tonight in looking at the life of Father Abraham. I don't come close. I don't come close. Somebody says, well, Brother Bradley, that's not good. No, that's good. Because this book was written and given to me by a God that loves me and a God that loves you. And he wants us to take stories like Abraham and leave this building tonight more dedicated, more consecrated than when we came in. And that means if you're not a child of God, we want to baptize you tonight. I don't want to be misunderstood. We want to baptize you tonight. If you are a child of God, you've not been faithful to that walk, you need to be strong. You say, Brother Bradley, I wish I had the faith like Abraham. That's why we're here. Pray with you. Pray for you. We invite you to come. While we stand, while we sing, battle lead us.